So I am a trial lawyer, and I have a very firm belief that diversity of your team really helps you with the jury. And this started when I was a very young lawyer. I did an externship prosecuting traffic court, and I was there for 3 months, and the jury panels had to stay. You would do about six trials a day, and the jury panel had to stay all day, and it would get recycled into every jury. And at the end of one day, one of the jurists gave me a hug and said, "You remind me of my daughter," which I clearly was a huge win. It made me feel great, but it also made me realize that I wouldn't have reminded her of her daughter if I wasn't a female. And having a diverse panel helps, a diverse team helps the jury relate to someone on your team. Having people up there that the jury can relate to helps some, you know, not everybody is going to remind her of her daughter, but if someone reminds them of their son or any part of people that they like, that is helpful for you to win. And as litigators, obviously, we want to win. So that I have a very firm belief that a diverse team, particularly on a jury, and a jury trial, helps you win. For that, for lots of reasons, obviously, diversity of ideas and making sure that those perspectives are brought in to relate to the jury, also very helpful, but definitely want to see diversity on the teams to get those ideas in as the case is being built so that when you're building your case, the entire litigation, you're getting to the end goal that helps people relate to your case because you have that diversity throughout the entire litigation.
Yeah, love it. Thank you so much. And Sharmini, you know, we always talk a lot about diversity at these types of conferences. I think in part because it's one of the easiest things to measure. You can have statistics and metrics about that. But inclusion is also very important, and inclusivity. It's a lot harder to, you know, nail down as something concrete. So what has Intel been doing to work on inclusivity?
So when we started our diversity program, it was literally called the diversity program. And I think we realized pretty quickly that there needed to be another component to it. And that's where the inclusivity piece came in. And I think over the last six, 7 years that I can recall, we've worked very hard to include different groups. And it's not just male, female, racial, you know, inclusivity, but also disabilities, LGBTQ community. And they're harder to measure, like you said. And it's also, if you look at it, a lot of those are self-reporting, you know, disabilities especially. You know, but we've gone through a lot, taken a lot of effort to try and make sure we include everyone. There's a program at Intel that we're disseminating more broadly now. It's called an inclusive leadership program. It's open to everyone, not just managers. The idea being you can all lead. And it's largely geared towards understanding your coworkers and enabling people to show up at work as themselves. And, you know, to learn how to embrace differences and build teams that have truly diverse backgrounds and experiences.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Definitely, it's another one of those kind of business imperatives where everybody would like their team to be better, and this is one of the tools in the toolkit to be able to help us all get there. I was going to go through, I think each of the women has a really unique and different story. They're all at, you know, their companies are at different levels of maturity, certainly different sizes. So hopefully among their stories, you might hear something that would work for your company and your team and take some ideas away from that. Christine, I'll start with you at Yeti. I know you were one of the co-founders of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion group there and movement there. So maybe you could just tell us a little bit about how that effort started and kind of what provoked that.
Sure. So Yeti is still a pretty young company. We started in 2006 with probably a handful of employees. And the company didn't really start to take off until about 2011. Today we have a little over 1,000 employees in several countries. And Yeti had some informal DE&I initiatives when I joined in 2018, but it really wasn't until 2020 where the company decided that it wanted to formalize a diversity, equity, and inclusion program. And a lot of that was due to the multitude of events that occurred in 2020. There was just a strong desire from employees that Yeti have a more formal program and voice a more formal commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So the executive leadership team asked me to serve as the co-chair for Yeti's first DE&I council, and our CEO was very clear. He didn't want Yeti's actions in this area to be merely performative, and he wanted whatever we put together to have a sustaining and meaningful impact. So we did a lot of thinking about that, and you know, over my career at the various companies that I've worked for, there's often a gap between companies' good intentions and what they say, and then actions that actually have meaningful impact. So we took a lot of time to think about, you know, where can Yeti have an outsized impact in diversity, equity, inclusion? And being an outdoor brand and one of the leading outdoor brands in the country, we decided, well, first, let's make a strong impact on the people within our walls. So all of the people at Yeti, we call ourselves Yetizens, which is still funny for me to say. And then the outdoor industry. You know, the outdoor industry has a lot of barriers, access barriers for people of color, for people with disabilities. And we firmly believe that the outdoors is for everyone. And so